Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me to hop back on that horse and see if Illinois can get a win this week at Purdue in a rivalry battle for the Purdue cannon. Mikey, when you were playing, did you have that cannon? Did you put it on your mantle? Like, who keeps the cannon?
I'm trying to think. I don't know that when I was playing, I ever beat Purdue, but when I was there, pretty sure we beat them once, and the cannon in the old locker room would just sit in like a case in the locker room. And Tim Knox, our former operations guy, he would be the guy who would make sure that no one touches it, and that we bring it to the game the next year. So I'm not sure who the new guy is this year, but
so
we'll see.
It's not making the rounds at like the bars or anything like that. No one gets to have fun with the cannon.
You know, if it had a bigger like hole where the cannonball's supposed to come out, maybe you could fill it up with a beer or something, but unfortunately it didn't. So no rounds at Cam's or any of the campus bars.
In the locker room, did you guys have like a reserve spot for the Illibuck that's just been vacant for however many years too, or is there just not even a spot for that?
Yeah, no, there's a spot for all the trophies, and it's actually not to get off topic of Purdue here, but the Illibuck, so they pass it over at, so whoever wins the game, so say Illinois beats Ohio State, right? We get the Illibuck at halftime of the following year or something like that. Like, it gets passed along the student section. I don't know. It's some weird tradition that they do. And one year when we beat them back in like 2000 or early 2000s, so we beat them. Then the next year we are getting the Illibuck trophy and we are down like 40-0. Yet they were still passing the trophy over to us. I don't know if they still do it that way because we haven't beaten them in a while, but I always thought that was kind of strange.
Traditions, man.
Yeah, I guess so. But cannon this week.
That's life in the Big Ten West. I guess Illinois looking to stay undefeated, boys, in the West.
Hey, listen, talked about it last pod. We still control our destiny.
The road to Pasadena alive and well. Mikey, you smelling roses still?
Yeah. Oh, I'm always drinking the juice and smelling the roses until, they tell us we don't have a chance. So, get a win this week and, we're back on track. Like I mentioned earlier in the week, just take it one day, one game at a time, because it can really, turn around your season. I mean, look what happened to us in 2019 when we beat Wisconsin. We've won what, 3 or 4 in a row, so hopefully this weekend can turn into something like that.
The tired take is if we lose, we've lost 4 straight, but the wired take is we probably still have a chance to go to Pasadena even with 1 loss in the Big Ten West.
That's right.
All we need is a chance, so we'll see.
Got to start stringing some wins together. I guess there's one expert that's not on Illinois' side this week, and that's Vegas. They're looking at an 11-point Illinois underdog, which when I saw was kind of shocked, especially with the news that David Bell is likely not going to play. Their number 2 receiver is not going to play, and then they're still without Xander Horvath, their starting running back. So that's 3 big pieces on the Purdue offense who, struggled to put up many points on Notre Dame last week after a cakewalk versus Connecticut the week before. So I don't know what you guys are feeling going into that. Into this one, but for me, I'm like, 11 points seems like a lot in a Big Ten West battle. Purdue's not a world beater by any means.
No, yeah, and I think that line probably has something to do with how close they were against Notre Dame. I think they're leading after the first quarter, down by 4 going into the fourth quarter, and personally I think Notre Dame's a little overrated, but that I'm fine with that line. If I was a betting man, I'm going Illinois all the way, because 11 points is a lot, especially when Purdue, they're not historically an amazing team. They've been pretty decent the last few years, and Dan, as you mentioned, arguably the 3 of their top offensive players are might not play this week. So all eyes on the Illini, a lot of things going in our favor from that aspect, so we'll see. But I do not like that line.
One thing Purdue has been doing here recently with Jeff Brohm and his offense is he's been rotating in a couple quarterbacks. And I know Jack Plummer's got the majority of the snaps, but at the end of the Notre Dame game, Aiden O'Connell came in there. Neither guy's been putting up anything insane in terms of numbers, a lot of short passes. But Mikey, you know, in your playing experience, what is that dynamic like with a, you know, rotational quarterback or not really having a guy? Because Brett Bielema, he made it clear that when Brandon Peters was out there, he was going to be the guy, and he thinks it's important to have, you know, one guy, one leader, one voice. Although Art Sitkowski did sub in and, you know, do a good job, he made it clear that Brandon Peters was that starter. Jeff Brohm seems to have a different philosophy. What is your take kind of on that two quarterback system?
Yeah, so I the only time I can, you know, recall when we did that at Illinois, other than a guy like my freshman year when Wes wasn't playing too well, they brought Riley in and he did really well. But the whole game plan that week was to have Wes as quarterback. And as a receiver, you know, you love that because you're getting those reps in with the quarterback, you know, you're getting your timing down, you know, the voice on the field, all that is consistent throughout the week. And when we had Aaron Bailey, you know, we would have certain packages where he would come in, mostly just run the ball. But, you know, from a receiver standpoint, you want just one quarterback. I'm on board with, you know, Coach Bielema's philosophy there. It just, you know, it's easier on the rest of the guys to have one guy who, you know, is going to come in, you know, be the play caller, throw you the passes during the week instead of trying to, you know, go 50% with each quarterback throughout the week. So we'll see. Hopefully the Illini can use that to their advantage this weekend if they do, you know, throw in some packages with that other quarterback and, you know, split time amongst the two of them.
I don't know if it's necessarily Brohm's philosophy, like his main philosophy, to have two quarterbacks going. I think it's more born out of the situation that neither guy is really taking the reins and they're both pretty similar, like replacement level guys. I think he would love to have one of them, you know, emerge or have one who's just his guy because they're both, you know, they can do things, you know, fairly well. I mean, Aiden O'Connell came in last week against ND and had showed some flashes, but ultimately, you know, they didn't end up closing the deficit down and, you know, even expand it a little bit. But it's one of those where I don't know if they necessarily have a guy in that room who is capable of being the guy. I think Brandon Peters' talent is enough to make him the guy, but maybe if he didn't quite have that, then we'd be having similar type of discussions. I mean, I think honestly, after last week, some of those discussions are being had by fans, but I don't know if it's one of those where we might be in the same boat of if you have two quarterbacks, you might have zero because, you know, sometimes it's just they're not good.
The interesting thing to me, too, about Purdue's quarterback situation is both guys, they have pretty similar skill sets, in my opinion. So it's not like you're bringing in a guy who can, you know, mix it up with some RPOs and really run the ball versus a more traditional passer. And Illinois' situation is pretty similar as well when you look at Sitkowski and Peters, again, very similar skill set. So I don't know, in my opinion, when you have two guys with similar skill sets, I don't think it does nearly as much as if you bring in a guy who can run versus a guy who's a more traditional passer.
Yeah, like bringing a guy, you know, for a change of pace or just have packages that the defense knows, you know, or that you know the defense is going to be preparing for during the week. I think that, you know, can be used to your advantage, but to play two guys that are very similar, you know, I that's something to me where you should have that wrinkled out during camp, you know. And John, like you mentioned, when you have two guys and one's not proving to be better than the other, then, you know, maybe neither of them are, you know, top-notch quarterbacks. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, if the Illini line up any differently with, you know, who's ever in at quarterback or how we attack that. But hopefully, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we can try to use that to our advantage.
Yeah, I guess it's advantageous for Brohm because, like, he doesn't need to change up much in terms, like, it, for example, like when Isaiah was in at quarterback and when he was spot duty quarterbacking, it was like, clearly this is probably going to be a run, you know, 90-95% of the time. Or even, I know, like when Justin Fields was at Georgia, he would get a couple series here or there. And it's like, yeah, they're probably just going to do a fair amount of running. They're not really, it's not going to be your prototypical pass. So in Purdue's case, you know, you still have the same playbook pretty much open at Brohm's disposal. He can just kind of ride whoever he thinks is the hot hand. But yeah, Mikey, like you were saying, it's hard to figure out who the hot hand is if you don't just commit to a guy and kind of just playing with fire at that point.
The game this week is at Ross-Ade Stadium. Mikey, where does that stadium rank in your pantheon of Big Ten stadiums? Intimidating or not?
I never played there. I unfortunately only played in Memorial Stadium against them. But from what I've heard, when guys go out there, because when you're injured, you don't usually travel because you can only bring 70 guys, I believe. And, you know, they would drive. They wouldn't fly because it's like 2 hours from Champaign. But there's a restaurant that everyone would always stop at that's about halfway between the two campuses. And apparently they have the best, like, warm rolls ever. And I know all the linemen would love going to Purdue just to eat those rolls before the game. So we'll see if that tradition still stands. You know, it's the little things that matter. But in terms of atmosphere, you know, with Illinois not being a highly ranked opponent, Purdue, you know, they're decent this year, but they're not like they were, you know, with Rondale Moore when they beat Ohio State a few years ago. I don't know that it's going to be, you know, extremely packed there. Probably very similar to how Memorial Stadium's atmosphere is. So I don't know that it'll be a distinct advantage for Purdue, but it is nice, you know, playing at home, being in your locker room, you know, you got all that space. But I don't see it as a huge advantage for Purdue.
What about the drum? I mean, you've obviously been in the presence of the drum. Did you ever feel it resonate within you, the largest drum in like the history of the world that couldn't get into ND?
Do they bring it to away games, you said?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the
drum. It's everywhere. The giant
drum. It was a huge
drum.
Controversy last week because Notre Dame wouldn't let it in the stadium.
Oh my gosh.
Because like the visitors' entrance, it's like it's this huge, huge drum. Like it's not able to get through most walkways. But Notre Dame like wouldn't let it go through their own tunnel to get into the stadium. So then like NBC is just like taking, like they would pan in from like a commercial and they just show you the drum sitting like 500 feet away in some random parking lot. Just like, yep, yeah, the drum is still there.
Gotta imagine Illinois was a, you know, like 7 or 8 point underdog, and then Vegas factored in the drum is back this week. And that's at least 3 points right there.
The drum is back. Wow.
Yeah. Revenge game for the drum.
Yeah. No, I need to look that drum up. I'm sure once I look it up, I'll know what you guys are talking about, but I do not remember seeing it.
He was just too locked in.
Yeah.
It's wild to me that you never in your career made it to West Lafayette.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, we do home and aways with them.
But still, how many seasons is what?
5 years.
5 years.
They played us 3 times. We were there twice.
Yeah, both times you were unable to suit up. It's a wild fun fact. Yeah. Mikey Dudek never played in West Lafayette.
Never played in West Lafayette. Yeah, and I'm not too mad about it, you know.
You don't like the grass field versus the turf in Champaign?
See, I enjoy grass fields,
really?
Believe it or not. Yeah, so I just think it's easier on your legs, you know. You might be faster on turf, but that's why I always enjoyed playing at Northwestern, because of their grass field, even though their atmosphere might be worst in the country. I just like the grass. It's a nice change up. But I did just look up a picture of the drum, and there's a world's largest drum. Wow.
Oh yeah.
That thing is probably 10 feet high.
I'm surprised you don't know about this. You were in its presence. It doesn't care about Mikey Dudek. Mikey Dudek needs to care about the Purdue drum. You kidding me?
Wow. I would love just to bang that drum.
We have way too much drum talk going on right now. Next thing you know, we're going to be at like the Carolina Panthers game or whatever, you know, banging that bad boy because we're just so addicted to the drum game.
Too much drum talk. We got to talk about maybe picks of the week, players of the week. Who we got? Mikey, you want to kick us off here, drum boy?
Yeah. You know, I was going back and forth on this, but because I feel like I'm going to go with McCray, the running back.
Enterprise, Alabama.
Yeah, I just think, you know, some of the flashes or lack thereof, the strength that we saw last week in him is, you know, what we needed on our team. You know, we were missing that. And I think he's going to get a lot of carries this week and do well. So that's my pick of the week. I'm going to say he's got one touchdown, 80 yards rushing. So,
all right, Mikey's specific stats of the week.
Pretty standard stuff. Any catches, any swing passes to him that he turns into? How many catches and how many yards?
I'm going to go 2 catches for 22 yards.
All right. Nice. I like it. One of my favorite things in Bielema's press conference when he was describing that play that Josh McCray had last week where he went beast mode was he said the Maryland defender turned around and was greeted by Enterprise, Alabama.
Amazing.
I love that. We need more of that this week.
The perfect way to describe it. Josh McCray, he is certainly a hammer and not a nail.
He is usually never a nail in most scenarios on the football field. That's okay. I still can't believe, like, I had to, in terms of like the film review, because I'm obviously backlogged, but I was looking stuff up because I was going over his first installment in the UTSA game. And I remember when he committed, I knew he was big, like 6'1", and I think there was something going on that he was like 225, but the official roster having him at 6'1", 240, like, I obviously believe it, but I just can't believe that there's a true freshman who wasn't even committed to, like, in 2021, he committed to this football team, and he's, you know, already getting touches. He is something else. He is definitely Enterprise, Alabama.
Yeah, he's a load.
He runs well for that size, too, and do you think, like, he's a freshman, he's, like you said, 6'1", 240. Are they going to keep putting muscle on him, or do you, like, trim him down? You just leave him where he's at? Like, what do you do with a running back that's already that big?
Well, I don't know that it's all muscle, right?
True.
So, you know, depending on – because they're having a full off season this year. Like, next year we'll really see a body transformation out of him. Now, I don't know. I'm sure they'll probably cut him a little bit, probably the 230 mark, but he holds his weight well. You know, it didn't seem to bother him. So if you can get Tank to, you know, cut some of that fat and replace it with muscle, he's going to be a wrecking in the Big Ten for the years to come.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the ideal plan, is maybe cut 5-10 pounds in this offseason, but get him back up to 240 as quickly as, you know, his body allows him, with that all just being good muscle, so that you can, because I think, you know, he's fairly quick and fast right now, but if you can keep that power that he has, obviously, and I mean, arm tackles are not going to be able to take care of him, which is just something that's so, him and Reggie Love, you know, those are two guys that seemingly always fall forward after first or when they're about to get tackled. And that's just something that is so perfect for this kind of offense. So he, obviously you want him to keep that size on him, but yeah, if you can kind of trim that little baby fat, cause you know, he's still a teenager, and get him to develop and get that musculature rocking, that he's still going to be very powerful and very hard to tackle, and maybe even a little bit faster, which is a scary thought for the next couple of years.
I like that pick a lot, Mikey, and Illinois, you know, run blocking has been pretty good this year. I think they've graded out top 10 in college football, according to PFF, and they do get Doug Kramer back this week, which should be a huge addition. So they'll have good guys blocking for them. So I'm thinking that's it's a pretty sound pick this week. John, who are you looking at?
I'm going to the other side of the ball, and I'm going to go with my guy, Seth Coleman. He had a great week last week, obviously. I think the reason why he's going to be so important is because of Purdue looking to establish the passing game. I mean, we already talked about Xander Horvath being out, and even though David Bell may not be available, that's still something that they have plenty of weapons in that Purdue receiver room. And their rushing attack has been very poor thus far. I mean, they absolutely put it on UConn, but who hasn't put it on UConn at this point? So right. Like, you, the three of us could probably rush for 135 yards against UConn.
Yeah, and John and I for like 3 yards each, and Mikey just for like 129.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably what's rocking. But we can just listen. It's just the group. We live and die as a podcast, so it's just the group stats that we worry about. But yeah, it's one of those where their rushing attack in the other contests have not been good. So I'm looking for, Purdue's obviously going to be passing the ball anyway. Brown loves throwing the ball around, hocking the pill. And I think Seth Coleman is going to have many an opportunity, not only in pass rush situations, but maybe, you know what? Here's my outlandish take, is he's going to get No, he's not going to get an interception. He's just going to have a tip ball, but it's going to lead to an interception. That's what it will be. He'll be kind of dropping in coverage. He'll get his hand. He'll get his one of those big mitts up in the air, and he'll deflect one to, let's say, Sidney Brown, and he's going to return it for 15 yards, and we're going to be very happy when the drive ends in a field goal.
I like that. Seth Coleman's been just seemingly getting better and better and more confident with each week. So he's a guy that's impressed me lately, and I hope he continues that trend for you. One thing I did just think about when you're talking about the running game, they're Purdue's running back, King Doru. We have Prince Green on our team. If Prince tackles King, that might be like, blow
that's
up.
That's an automatic W for us, right? Like we're usurping them.
Handed off by Plummer too. Plummer to King to Prince with the tackle. That would be, that would make my day. My pick of the week, I'm going to go to the offensive line, and I don't know.
Generally good spot to go to.
Yeah, not the most popular pick by any means, but Vidarian Lowe is a guy who has played okay, but not quite to his expectations this year, and he's going to have a tough task ahead of him going up against George Karloftis, who's probably going to be a first-round pick next year.
That dude's a beast.
Yeah, so I think Vidarian's going to have his hands full, but I think he's ready for the challenge, and this is his chance to take that step forward. So I'm going to say Vidarian Lowe is my pick of the week, and I'm going to say he's not allowing a single sack this week. And I don't know, do I want to put some pancake numbers out there?
Pancakes
too?
Pancakes and knockdowns?
Maybe like
either or?
Maybe just a short stack, maybe six pancakes?
Okay, I like it.
There we have it, picks of the week.
We'll have to get you in touch with Bielema's office to get the official stats on that to figure out, because you know how they track it is maybe a little bit different. So we'll have to, our good friend Brett, we'll have to get in touch with him to get the official pancake stats.
We'll have to wait for John's video breakdown to just circle all the pancakes for
we're getting through them. This has been a good week. We're the backlog is getting worked through, and Virginia not having a full game is nice, because even though I'd love to break down a full game, I only have a condensed game, and so that'll be good to kind of roll through and then get immediately into Maryland, and then boom, we're going to be breaking down all good
get
things.
Get the pancake ticker up and going for the Purdue video in a couple weeks here. Let's get into the game predictions. Mikey, you see a bounce back for Illinois this week coming off three losses. Vegas doesn't see it.
Of course, I'm always one to go against Vegas.
Counterculture.
I'm going to go. I think we're going to need to score a decent amount to beat them. So I'm going to go 31-28, close game. But I think, you know, we're going to get on them early. And, you know, if Purdue, you know, scores quick like Virginia, it's going to be a long afternoon for us, because we haven't really shown, you know, much fight to come back into games. So if we're able to, you know, control the line of scrimmage, you know, hang on to the ball, run the ball, you know, drives of 8 minutes, you know, typical, you know, what you would most likely see out of a Bielema offense, I think we'll win the game and win it by 3 points, because Purdue's powerful and you can never count them out. So Illini by 31-28. You heard it here first.
Down goes the drum.
Down goes that damn drum. Yep.
I think I'm going to have to go with I've kind of been flip-flopping, but and you would think after I said last week if they go out and lose, but they covered and they should have won anyway. So that's the thing, is like in my mind, and also Purdue's roster in terms like the talent that Purdue has is not that discernibly different than U of I's. If you take out Karloftis and Bell, the teams are not, they're very comparable in terms of, you know, the outcomes that can happen on any given Saturday. So the fact that they're going to be missing potentially one of those guys, they're going to have to score a lot of points though. U of I is definitely gonna have to score. So I'm going to have to go with a higher number. I'm going to go Illinois 35, Purdue 34. Reading that last second touchdown to get the dub.
Go for two.
Ooh, could be in play. Maybe they do the thing where it's like they're down 14, and will that? I honestly, I hope that happens at some point in the Bielema tenure, so I can get another data point on how we, you know, reacts to those things. If we're down 14 and we score and there's like 5 minutes left in the game, we go for two, get that, and then stop them. Because, Mikey, you're right. In terms of, like, I wanted to touch on this while you were talking. It seems like the defense is going to have to come out strong, because if they get put in a hole early, their confidence might be shaken, and they might not be able to get back into it. It's going to come down to, you know, can the offense perform early? But the defense, I think, you know, if they continue the what it was a pretty strong performance from last week, if they, you know, get that rolling into this Purdue game, then I think we'll be good to go. And yeah, they might have some, you know, down times where then it turns into a 34-point game. But, you know, I think the offense can hopefully show out well and they get the dub.
Do you think Bielema's going the opposite way of the 4th-and-1 conservative call this week and going ultra aggressive with these 2-point conversions?
Yeah, exactly. That's he's heard it from so many people now. All those people being me, maybe. But he's just now hearing it that, oh man, he's got to go for it, and he's got to, you know, be consistent. So if he's, you know, going for it on 4th-and-1s or 4th-and-2s, then I think if we get in that scenario where we're down 14 and we score, then yeah, hell's bells, we might just go for it and go for two.
I like that. I'm also riding the Illini train this week, and I'm going like way off the rails though. I think this is going to be one of those weird games where Illinois just comes out and looks like a completely different team for a game.
You know, 2019.
Yeah, 2019, where we just kind of stick it to them early. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go all the way out on the limb, like the farthest limb possible, and say Illinois is winning this game 38-17 in a blowout. I think.
Are you kidding me, ladies and gentlemen?
I think Peters gets the offense right. The defense showed some signs, like you said, until those last couple minutes. They looked really good against a pretty awesome Maryland offense. So I'm hoping they kind of get back to what they were doing in the first three quarters and can shut down Purdue. Like we said, Plummer and O'Connell, if he's in there, neither guy really throws the ball downfield. And when you take away David Bell and you take away the number two receiver, and you don't have Xander Horvath just running us over consistently for four quarters, it's, I think, a pretty limited offense. And what they're going to do is throw a lot of underneath passes. Illinois defense hopefully adjusts this week and plays a little more press coverage on the outside. So we'll see what happens. But I kind of see Illinois just out of nowhere, just dominating this team and then put everyone on notice that maybe this team's not going down the losing path like they have in years past.
Well, Dan, I hope you're right. I love that prediction. And I think it, you know, coming out with a win where we would, you know, really dominate the game would put a lot of confidence in our guys, momentum in our team, and confidence in the fan base that this can be a team, you know, we can get behind, because we can win games, you know, that we're not supposed to win, against a Big Ten West opponent, for a trophy, and really just put us back in the driver's seat of our season that is, you know, slowly putting us in the passenger seat.
No, we're still in the driver's seat on our way to Pasadena right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, haven't you been here, Mikey?
We're slowly inching over though to the other side.
We're driving like a Toyota Corolla, but we're still in the driver's seat.
All right, we'll see Saturday.
It would be a great response. Like if they could bounce back, because I think there's enough rationalizations in, you know, the past couple games that I've always tried to give. Like, oh yeah, you know, UTSA and Virginia might actually be good, and Maryland, that's a pretty good team that you hung well with, and you know. Maybe most people thought you were going to lose anyway. So if you bounce back and win this year, then yeah, Danny, like you were saying, you know, it turns the season around and maybe gets you away from those losing ways of prior regimes that were just kind of habitual at that point.
Beat the drum, get the cannon. That's the motto of the week.
I love it.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode. You can check us out on social media. We have those YouTube video breakdowns on our page at the Field Pass. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook as well. Go Illini.